Let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast lead over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Okay, remove all sharp objects from anywhere near your eyes. Take everything that has a point on it and pull it away. It's not the end of the world. Then again, it might be. Welcome into the playbook for a Tuesday. We're getting ready here to embark upon game week 4. And, yeah, game week 3 is one that you really want to put behind you as quickly as you possibly can. As the Patriots lose one, 34-31 to the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. Ralph Wilson. Yeah.
I can't get up.
Yeah, we have. We have. And it's going to be pretty hard. Actually, I don't think it will be hard at all to get back up. I really don't. I don't think it'll be terribly hard. But there's so much that went wrong. For the first reaction that I had after, you know, initially being angry and upset and, you know, trying to reason why it happened on Sunday. And of course, my son, Austin, he does a great job of really putting things into perspective. And the rookie will be with us at some point in time later in the season. He'll be doing his picks and stuff for us, here on the program later. But he kind of has a way of putting it in perspective. It's kind of like, after the game is over, first of all, he doesn't even watch the last, like, 2 minutes of the game because he knows they're going to lose. So he stomps upstairs and goes to his computer, and he didn't want anything to do with the television. I'm like, what happens if they come back? You know, what happens if they do this? What happens? No, they're lost. They're lost, Dad. They're gone. They're done. I'm like, well, you know, when you come to the game next week, because he'll be at the game in 2 weeks. He'll be at the Cowboy game in 2 weeks and or 3 weeks. And then he comes to the stadium, and I'm like, well, you can't go off and go anywhere. And he goes, yeah, I know, I'm stuck, or I can go to the bathroom, or I can go to the concession stand if I don't want to watch it. And I said, well, what makes you so sure that this game is over with? He said, Dad, the defense stinks. And he didn't use that exact phrase. But I think you kind of know where we're going here. You know, and 16-year-old kid knows a little about sports, knows a little about football, has played it a little bit, talked about it a lot. He gets it. And I think we all get it. And the troubling part, I guess, to all of this is that the guys down the hallway here understand it right now. I mean, you know, I know Paul mentioned this earlier, but, you know, Sean Ellis is at least, you know, taking a little bit of the responsibility here. Some of the other guys are going to take some responsibility. But, okay, that's great that they're manning up, so to speak, and that's great that they're, you know, admitting that, you know, hey, we just didn't get it done. Now what do you do? I think the most disturbing thing about all of this is, to me, is that you got to have Tom Brady playing a Tom Brady-like game to win. He has one bad game, and this team can't pick him up? He has one bad game, and somebody else can't elevate their game to the next level? Tom Brady has one bad game, and you're telling me that a running back or a receiver, hello, Chad Ochocinco, or somebody on the defensive side, you know, make a sack?
No!
Somebody on this team can't stand up and make a play when Tom can't? You're telling me that this entire team's fortune this season rides on the shoulders of number 12? That's sad. That's very disappointing. To me, that is the overriding disappointment that I am left with from Sunday in upstate New York. I'm left with the feeling that this team is D-O-A without TB. I thought this team had more than that. Somebody emailed last
Everyone
week.
Everyone sucks but me.
Yeah. Somebody emailed last week and said they tried to explain, you know, tried to ask why. And I think I had an emailer say this earlier. And forgive me. Oh, yeah, Sean. He sent me this on a Facebook post. He said, John, that's what I meant last week when I said they did not address the defense in the offseason. Well, Sean, yes, they did. They did address it. When you don't address something, it basically means you ignore it. You pretend it's not there. They did address it because they did make moves. They did get Albert Haynesworth. They did get Sean Ellis. But what good is it doing them? They've made moves for the short term that are not paying dividends in the short term. We know they didn't have a pass rush last year. They did make personnel moves, though. They did address it. But apparently, and again, this is just through 2 weeks now, 3 weeks, excuse me, but apparently they didn't address it properly. Now, maybe they just, what's a good term for it? Let me give you a Yogi Berra-ism, misevaluated. I think that may be over Yogi's head, with all due respect. But, you know, you kind of understand what I'm saying here. They did address it. They addressed it inadequately, I would say right now. Now, let me go back to something that I've hit on all 3 weeks previous to this one, since this season started. It's still early. What did I say last week? What did I say the week before that? And what did I say during week one? And I'm gonna hammer on a common theme here. Come on, you know what it is. Come on, admit it to yourself. We haven't played enough of this season yet. It's 3 weeks into the season. The team is 2-1. Should they be 3-0? Yeah, they should. Let's get past that now. Because they're not. They can't change it. There's nothing they can do about it. Does anybody really believe that Buffalo is going to be there standing up at the end of this season? See, I don't. While Buffalo's improvement is a great story, and again, keep in mind, this was a team that started 0-8 last year, won 4 of their final 8 last year, finished strong, and obviously now, I don't really go for the whole one season into the next, but obviously now these guys believe in themselves, and I think Buffalo will certainly be competitive. I still have doubts as to whether or not Buffalo at 3-0 will make the playoffs. It's awful early to be talking about the playoffs with 13 weeks left, okay? Way early. What I would tell you now is that this is a three-team race, but this may not be the three teams we thought would be involved here. I think everybody thought Miami would be the third team involved here in the AFC East, and Miami's 0-3. And, you know, frankly, I don't think they're dead yet. I don't know that they make the playoffs at 0-3, but I don't think they're dead yet. Let's find out. Again, I think we need to give it a couple of more weeks. I think we got to give the Patriots a couple of more weeks. Let's consider who the opponents are. This week it's at Oakland. Next week you have the Jets rivalry. It's going to be plenty to focus on. After that, you've got the Dallas Cowboys, who, by the way, kicked 6 field goals last night. 6 field goals. Six field goals to beat the Washington Redskins. How horrible is that? If the Patriots can hold them to 6 field goals, I'd be very happy. I'd be very pleased with that. I think you have to realize that, you know, Tony Romo at some point in time is going to shoot himself in the foot. And that offense for Dallas is going to shoot themselves in the foot. I don't feel so bad about that one. So, you know, there's a chance here. There's an opportunity here to right the ship pretty quickly. But it's also pretty clear to see that some guys have to start performing. If they don't, well, then, you know what? You sit. You bring in guys like Gerard Warren, which for the life of me, I still can't figure out why he's not in there. This guy should be on this team now. You're not getting anything from the front 4 or 3. You're not getting anything. Zero. The only thing you're getting, the only person you're getting anything from is Wilfork. He's doing his job. Haven't seen it much from anybody else. Kyle Love, I'll give a little bit of credit to here. A little bit. Haven't seen it from anybody else. Literally have not seen it from anybody else. There's been some flashes. I mean, I've seen maybe Anderson and Carter, you know, cut around the end a little bit, but they're not completing the play. They're not laying a hand on anybody. Ninkovich, when he's lining up and he's rushing, I've seen him in there. I've seen him in the backfield. He's not laying a hand on anybody. Here's the thing that really, really bothers me about this. I know you've seen it by now. Raider linebacker Rolando McClain, dubbing the Patriots a, quote, finesse team yesterday. His quote was that this is just a finesse team. I mean, Tom Brady's a smart guy. Has many weapons around him with his receivers as well as his tight ends. His tight ends are playing great right now. So it's kind of a backhanded compliment, don't you think? Don't you feel like that's sort of a read between the lines? Rolando McClain is saying this team can be pushed around. Rolando McClain is saying this team can be slapped. Rolando McClain is saying this team is not intimidating and can be had, especially on the defensive side of the ball. This team is not good enough to overcome four turnovers. Offensively, this team is fine. They still put 31 points up on the board, committing four turnovers on the road. Good Lord. Fact of the matter is that if you commit four turnovers on the road in a football game, you have no business being in a game, and the Patriots should have won this game. Come on, think about it now. Four turnovers on the road? Please. But the only way the Patriots win this game this past Sunday is if they get four turnovers of their own. And yet they still had a chance to win this game. Could have perhaps won this game if Chad Ochocinco doesn't drop a 41-yard touchdown pass. Went right through his hands. Now, I'm going to get to Ocho in just a couple of moments, but I'm going to stay in a general sense right now. You can't win football games in the National Football League, or any league, really, committing four turnovers on the road. Not unless you're getting at least four in return yourself to balance it out. You just can't. So that's number one. Number two, as bad as it was for Tom, he should be allowed to be human. We depend on him too much to be Superman. The problem with all this is those that we saw. If we don't get Superman, this team has got troubles. And maybe this team needed this kind of a wake-up call this early in the season. Maybe they needed it. Maybe they realized, hey, we got to do something now about this defense. Maybe each one of the 11 guys who are playing on the other side of the football on defense realizes that I need to bring my game up a little bit in order to keep this from happening again. I need to do my fair share. Or it's going to happen again. Sean Ellis, Mark Anderson, Andre Carter. We need Albert Haynesworth in there. Hate to say it, we need him. He's got to be in there. Dude's got to be healthy. What good is he if he's not healthy and they're playing? Where's Gerard Mayo been? Swallowed up. Where's Rod Ninkovich been? Dane Fletcher. Spikes, Brandon Spikes. Where have these guys been? I realized the secondary was really hurting. But I think we also realized how bad the secondary really is. And maybe this team made some strategic personnel moves they thought were for the betterment of this team in the long haul. But in the short term, wasn't smart. Wasn't good. You get rid of Sanders and Merriweather both, your safeties from last year. To me, I sort of equate it to the whole Richard Seymour thing of 3 years ago. Honestly. Or 2 years ago. You know, when was that? That was 2009, right? They dumped him in 2009. So, you know, ironically, we get Richard Seymour blocking against his old teammates, trying to wreak havoc this week. I bet he has a good game. I bet he has a good game. I bet the Patriots had their hands full with Richard Seymour. That already is a concern for this next Sunday. Already. But like what happened with Seymour, they sort of mortgaged the present for the future, and I don't think it happened. I don't think it turned out very well, because I think the Patriots, you know, I think they blanked the bed on 2 years ago and gave up on a chance to win the Super Bowl. Had they kept Seymour around, I think he could have made a huge difference. Now, I'm not saying, not going to tell you, that Brandon Merriweather and James Sanders being on this team right now are going to put this team in the Super Bowl. No, no, not going that route. What I will tell you is, though, is that you don't leave yourself open for the gaping holes that you've now seen defensively. And you also have safety help for the man coverage that right now is pitiful. It's just awful. You didn't know, and granted, the coaching staff also, they didn't know either, that, you know, McCourty was going to struggle, that Bodden was going to struggle. They didn't know that Rezai Dowling was going to be, a walking ambulance. I mean, dude's a second-round pick. That's great. First pick of the second round. That's wonderful. If he can't get on the field, what good is he? Can't stay healthy. What good are you? You're no good. You're worthless. How about going with guys that can stay healthy and stay on the field? Maybe they don't do exactly what you want them to do, but it's your job to figure out a way to get production out of them, is it not? As a coach and as a coaching staff? Okay, I'll wager that if you're a supervisor at your job right now, okay, you're a boss, you're a manager, you're a VP, you're somebody who's in charge, and you have a staff of people underneath you. Do you like everything about everybody that works underneath you? No. And if you say, oh, yeah, I do, you're lying. You're a lying liar. Because it just doesn't work that way in real life. You know it, I know it, we all know it. You tolerate people. People have shortcomings. You learn more about people as your professional relationship evolves. And that's what we're learning here within this football team. We're learning more about these guys. We're also learning that some of these player judgments that Bill Belichick, that Nick Caserio are coming up with are wrong. Maybe it's a little like the emperor not wearing any clothes here, but I'm telling you, they've made some mistakes in evaluation. And I'm ready to say right now they have misevaluated. Love that term. I think I'm going to coin that phrase. I'm going to put that in the dictionary, Kevin. Misevaluated. Made up by John Rook. Because that's exactly what we've done. We've misevaluated the personnel.
So now we have rookisms.
Yes, it's a rookism.
There you go.
We have misevaluated the personnel in the secondary. These guys aren't doing it, and yet they still cleaned house. If I'm a guy and I got guys working underneath me that I don't really like some of the things that they do, but it's kind of difficult for me to fire them because there's no fireable offense, what am I going to do to get productivity out of them? I, as a manager, it is my responsibility to get productivity out of them. I have to try to tailor something to their strengths. I have to give them a chance to succeed so the company succeeds. Right, managers? Right? That's on this coaching staff. Rather than just cut bait, which you can do in professional sports, and say, there's the door, see ya. Have a nice life. Why not try to figure out a way, realizing that what you might have might be the best thing you got? And why not figure out a way to try to, I don't know, work with these people? Figure out a way to make it work for them. Give them a system in which they can perform. This man-to-man stuff ain't getting it done. This 4-3 ain't getting it done. Finesse. Rolando McClain says finesse. The Patriots are finesse. Now, rest assured, that's going up on a bulletin board somewhere down the hallway. Finesse. I'm a finesse player. I like to finesse things. If that didn't go right up somebody's wazoo, then they don't have heart here. They don't have heart here. They don't belong here. You know what I want to see? You remember the movie The Replacements? I want to see on the first snap of the football, everybody standing there and just sucker punching the other guys. I just want to see that. Blow the whistle, and then guys just start wailing on guys, kicking them. Punching them, scratch. That's what I want to see. You want finesse? I'm going to give you finesse. I mean, come on. Finesse. Belichick's response. He was asked yesterday, what do we do about, a rebuttal here? And his answer was, well, you'd have to ask him there. I don't know what he meant or how he meant it. We're trying to be a winning team. That's what we're trying to do. Okay, well, that just kind of like, you know, smooths things out, calms it down, but you know somebody somewhere is paying attention. Somebody somewhere is paying attention. Hopefully they're paying attention in that locker room. But to me, the absolute worst part of having to swallow a painful loss like that from Sunday has to do with the fact that we're putting way too much on Brady's shoulders, that there's not another individual or even individuals on this team that can stand up when one guy goes bad and say, I'll put the team on my shoulders, I'll get this team to a win. Wes Walker is as close as we come to that, folks. But you know what? He doesn't throw the ball. He can only catch it and run with it.
And I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of gay.
Well, not really. I'm trying to give you credit, Wes.
If he could throw it.
If he could throw it. I mean, I guess he could tackle, too. Do we need to put him on special teams, too?
You don't want that to happen.
No,
you
not really.
You got shaken up making a tackle.
I'm just saying. But Walker's the only other guy I feel relatively comfortable with where that's concerned. Nobody else is standing up to make a play. Nobody else is standing up to nobody else is standing up, period. And that bothers me more than anything. There's nitpick number one, kids, on a nitpick Tuesday. Nobody else is standing up after 3 weeks.
Don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
Here's Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. Big Al, welcome to the playbook.
What's going on there, John Rook?
How are you, man?
I've always been a finesse caller.
Nice.
Well, actually, I take that as a compliment if the Patriots are a finesse team. But, you know, the San Francisco 49ers won four Super Bowls in the 80s, and they were always described as a finesse team. So I don't really care if you're a finesse team or not. I mean, you get the W or you get the L. I mean, that's bottom line. So this guy is probably McClain has provided some bulletin board material with not a whole lot of, you know, he's not getting a whole lot out of it.
Yeah,
seems like to me.
Yeah.
So, as far as my nitpicks go, I have a first half nitpick and a second half nitpick, and they, you know, it seems like we are calling plays as if, yeah, we got the best quarterback in the world, but you know, it's almost as if we don't have any faith in our defense. You're coming down the end of the first half. We got a 21-7 lead. Okay, Buffalo scores near the end of the half. You know, they ran down. They put it in the end zone. Good for them. We come back down, and rather than kind of, you know, milk some clock, and usually we're really good at the end of the first half,
mm-hmm. but,
you know, managing the clock and getting a score right before halftime, even if we don't get lucky and get an interception by, you know, Vince Wilfork. You know, if we don't get lucky like that, we still seem to score last and right before half, and that's been one real strength of this team over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a chance to kind of position the ball and milk it a little bit, and even if it's only 24-7, if you only get three out of that, you know, that's fine. But I think we got a little greedy there, and Tom, we got in a hurry, and he threw it out there, and I don't think that the Woodhead was ready for the ball. He turned his head, and boom, the ball's in his craw, and you know, bounces up in the air. The guy makes a nice play on the ball. I think we could have managed the situation a little bit better there at the end of the half. And
then in
the second half, we had a 7-point lead. We got the ball on their 23-yard line. We had just run the ball a couple times with Stevon Ridley, and there I think there had been a reverse with Welker, and you know, we're kind of, you know, looking pretty good again, and you know, we get greedy and we try to throw a seam route down to Gronkowski, and it gets picked off. It's underthrown a little bit and gets picked off. We had a 7-point lead. I think that the old Patriots, the pre-finesse Patriots, if you will,
right,
would have said, hey, let's slow it down. You know, if we get three out of this, we've at least got a 10-point lead. We got a 2-score lead in the fourth quarter. You know,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't have gotten that greedy. I think we're getting greedy in these situations because evidently we just don't think that our defense can stop anybody. And we've got to put a touchdown on the board every time we're in the red zone because, you know, if we don't put a touchdown, if we only get three, that's not going to be good enough with our defense.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that's what I read into that. Maybe I'm reading the wrong thing, but that's what it looks like to me. And I just don't think our defense is that bad. I really don't. I think it's going to get better. It's not really good now, but I think we should have a little more faith in them.
Well, I don't disagree with the faith part. I totally agree with that because, again, I'll go back to my original premise. I said, you know, weeks ago, and I'll continue to say now, and I've said it already today, you can't judge a season by 3 weeks. So I'm willing to give it another 2 to 3 weeks, but I would tell you that I'm not liking the trend. And so because you can see some trends that are going poorly, it's time now to start making some adjustments to see if you can't arrest those trends. Now, I don't know really what that means, but you know what? I'm not paid to do that. That's not my job. I'm not the coach who's down the hallway. Here's what this team has to do, amongst other things. This team needs to decide what it is. I don't know that they've really sufficiently decided. They're not a man team.
Mm-hmm.
They may not be a very physical team, especially if other teams around the league are beginning to figure this out. And the Raiders are, you know, bold enough this week to step out and say, they're finesse. So if you are a finesse team, all right, how do you win? If you're a finesse team, you better put some speed rushers on that end defensively because you're not going to beat anybody physically up front.
Yep, yep.
And right now they don't have that. So if that means, you know, you need to come with more blitzes, where the hell have the blitzes been? Have we seen a blitz this year defensively? I'm talking about...
I cringe. Every time it's third and eight. Every time it's third and eight, I cringe.
I know because exactly what's going to happen.
Be third and a foot.
You're exactly right. I would feel much better with third and a foot than third and an eight. And why is that? Because we have no faith in the secondary to stay with the receivers. And you're getting no help from the safeties. The one thing you could get with Merriweather and Sanders is help.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm not saying that they were great. Clearly the Patriots didn't think they were. We all know what their shortcomings were, especially Merriweather. But could they help? Yes, they could. Did they help? Yes, they did. Are we getting help now? No, we're not.
No,
okay,
we're
not. You pick it up from there.
Well, Patrick Chung, of course, didn't play, and Haynesworth didn't play.
So, I agree.
Mean, you kind of have, hopefully, if you get those guys back, and it is early, but if we get those guys back, and, you know, if 2 or 3 weeks from now we're having the same conversation, then, then I'm starting to worry big time.
Well, that's very
this
true.
This is why before the season, John, when everybody was predicting 14-2 and 13-3. I was saying 12-4.
Okay.
Because I figured there'd be weeks like this where you'd have the anatomy of an upset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple of guys are hurt. Brady throws more interceptions than he ever has. You know, a couple of bad calls. I still didn't like those two calls on that one drive. That roughing the passer call was the second pathetic roughing the passer call we've had so far this season. I don't know what these guys have to do. I'm in favor of the rule to protect the quarterbacks, but it seems like that was a textbook tackle that Anderson did on Fitzpatrick, and they still made the call. I don't get it, okay?
Yeah.
And as far as the pass interference on Sergio Brown, I've been watching football for 40 years or so, and I've never understood pass interference. I got to admit, I'm clueless.
Well,
what is supposed to be, what's not supposed to be, what it is, and they never call it, what's never, but they always call. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, that was a nasty
you
call.
You drive yourself nuts with pass interference.
That was a nasty call on Sergio, honestly. I mean, did he interfere? He probably did, but I think you also have to realize, was it in the course of, you know, the play, and if it was happening away from the ball, and there are many things that you could have done. I think a savvy official probably would have just kept the flag in his pocket because it had nothing to do with the play. It had absolutely nothing to do with the play.
I agree. If the ball was underthrown, I think the receiver saw that the ball was underthrown.
Came back, knocked him.
And he came back and bumped into our guy and hugged. He hugged just as much as he was hugged.
Of course.
He hugged back.
Of course.
And had to try to beg for a call. And then if you notice, the official doesn't throw the flag until after the interception takes place.
Right.
Which is always inherently suspect when we watch the result of the play. and then we decide, oh, I think I need to make a call.
I know. I know.
That's a little shaky when you see that.
I totally agree with that. That one, I mean, honestly, Al, you're absolutely right. But honestly, again, we should never have been in that position.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That's why I'm saying it's the anatomy of an upset. It's a combination. It's a gumbo.
Yeah. Yeah.
of all yeah. different things that happen at one yeah. time, and that's going to happen during the. It probably happened one more time.
Yeah, that's a
this
good
year.
That's a good way to put it.
With the defense that we have, frankly, that can't always bail you out from bad calls and
right.
interceptions, and so that's why I'm thinking 12-4. I think last year we outkicked our coverage. I mean, we got a couple of wins down the stretch last year that really maybe we were lucky to get. I mean, we played Green Bay with their backup quarterback,
mm-hmm.
had to come back and win.
Mm-hmm.
Played Detroit with their backup quarterback, had to come back and win. You know, I mean, maybe, you know, Peyton Manning throws an interception down the stretch. They could have easily, just as easily have scored in that and won the game. They were driving to win the game. So, you know, I mean, we might have got a little lucky last year and, not really, it really might not have been a 14-2 type of team. And I'm thinking this year we're going to come back down to earth, probably 12-4. And, but we're still good enough to make the playoffs. And the question is going to be, just like you've been saying about this defense, I mean, is it going to improve? Can we keep guys on the field? You know, are we really better off without the safeties? I guess that's what the regular season is going to be about.
Yeah, we're going to have to play them. We're going to have to keep guys healthy. That's the other thing. That's the other big concern right now. Guys have got to get healthy because, you know, we think we have the pieces to the puzzle here, but if they're not healthy, how the heck do we know what we have?
Don't know. Don't know. I mean, we've seen Rozai Dowling for a cup of coffee. It was good what we saw, but, you know, he's got to play more.
Yeah,
but anyway,
yeah.
You asked me to what I thought about the Belichick program.
Yeah.
yeah. Last week.
Right. What'd you think?
That out.
Yeah, what'd you think?
And I saw the second half of it, and then the network re-ran the first half of it. So I actually did get to see the whole thing, although I had missed part one,
mm-hmm.
you know, the previous week.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was interesting. The behind-the-scenes stuff with Belichick, I think, was the most interesting. Some of his, on the sideline stuff, it's kind of plain vanilla. You know, I mean, it's pretty hard to match. You know, Hank Stram set the bar so high for all these sideline microphones that it's pretty hard to beat. Matriculate the ball down the field and, 65 toss power trap. You know,
mm-hmm.
get in there for Gloucester. 65 toss power, you know,
yeah.
it's hard to beat that stuff.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Classic stuff.
Yeah, it is.
So all these other coaches have been trying to catch up to Hank Stram, I think, since then. And Belichick isn't any different than anybody else. It's hard to match him. So sideline stuff I thought was a little bland, but the rest of the stuff that they ran behind the scenes with him and kind of in his offices and talking to the other coaches and talking to Brady, that's stuff that you don't often see from any coach.
I agree, and I like that.
And I thought that was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. You allowed a little bit of insight there. You allowed a little bit of human contact. You're allowed to see what makes him tick in the normal course of events. I agree. It was a little bit revealing. So I think it was pretty well done.
What I would just not to rub it in to the coach, but you know, in my both of my vehicles, I can change the clock. You know, really easily when daylight savings time comes. It's not hard at all. I do have a button that says clock, you know.
Thanks.
And I don't know how much his vehicle
that's
costs,
good,
but you know, both of my vehicles are paid for, and they're both in pretty good shape still, and they both have a button that says
clock. I don't
clock.
Know. Maybe Jaguars and Bentleys don't have that.
Hey, take care. I'll call you next week.
All right, Al. Sounds good. That's Alan Valdosta, Georgia. Good stuff. All right, that's how you get in touch with the program. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Again, the area code is 508-298-0398. Phone lines open and available for you. Email us, of course, webradio@patriots.com. webradio@patriots.com. And the Facebook page is up and running and taking your posts. John Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name. If you're not a friend, you can submit the request. We will answer it. Then you may post, you may message, and you may chat. You may use the chat function on the Facebook page. We do that. A lot of people do that. It's good stuff. It's instant contact, easy to get your stuff back and forth. Or you can just go the plain old-fashioned email route at webradio@patriots.com. Either way, we give you, any way you go, we give you plenty of opportunity to get your feelings, your views, and on Tuesdays, your nitpicks about this football team out here inside Patriots Playbook. Oh, yeah, by the way, Twitter, @JRook. JROOKE0722.
You media whore.
That's, well, you gotta do what you gotta do, right? Gotta do what you gotta do. Alright, we got emails, we got Facebook posts, your phone calls. We nitpick on a Tuesday on the Playbook.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Way to go. Got a long way to go. I'm telling you. We just have no mental toughness. We go on the road, we have no mental toughness. We can't play the game the way we need to play it. Just, it's not them either. It's totally us. Just totally us. We have to find a way here to be a tougher team when we get on the road. I sure did. I just can't get this team to play the way we need to play. I can't do it. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, I'm not in the middle.
We do it in spurts. We just, don't do it for four quarters.
No. And the tougher it gets, the less likely we are to do it.
All right, is it deja vu all over again? That was, of course, Coach Belichick. For those that saw the special on NFL Network, that was from his being mic'd up during the 2009 season. And like I said, deja vu all over again.
Kind of applies exactly to what we saw on Sunday.
There was no mental toughness with this team. The team was clearly not capable of doing whatever it was that they wanted them to do. I'm not even sure what the coach wanted them to do, but they didn't do it, whatever it was. So we're kind of back to square one here. I would say that 2 years later, you have to go to now where you have to go to a direct, criticism, for lack of a better phrase, of the guys that you have on this team. Let's take a look at the personnel. You're not putting the kind of personnel around Tom Brady right now that can win. You think you are, but then when it comes to practicality, you're not. What are they doing differently now than what they did in 07 when they were, you know, a lucky catch away from being 19-0? What are they doing differently? So we continue here with the playbook on a Nitpick Tuesday. Got this Facebook message from Sam, who says, John, I agree with you on the defense malfunctioning, but it looks like we traded in one miserable position for another. We fixed the front line and got rid of players in the secondary. When are we going to get to a place where there are no concerns in any position? Do you think Bill is regretting any personnel moves he made? My next concern is Chad Ochocinco. What do we need to say, okay, you need to step up? Well, I said a little while ago, and thanks, Sam, appreciate it. You raised good points, and I said a little while ago I was going to deal with Ocho, and I guess now is as good a time as any. He dropped a 41-yard touchdown that could have changed the scope of the game. Certainly could have. I'm not going to go out and say it cost the team a game because we don't know. As poorly as the defense played, we don't know if it really cost the team a game, but let's just put it, you know, in terms that I think we all can understand. And the fact is that it doesn't look good. There's not a lot of faith on Tom Brady's part. There doesn't seem to be a sense of assuredness on Ochocinco's part. Again, we're only 3 weeks into this. And the one thing I don't want to hear is, oh, I knew this 2 weeks ago. That's the biggest bunch of crap I think I've ever heard. You didn't know it. I didn't know it. Nobody here knew this. You can't predict this kind of thing to happen. In fact, I'm not ready to say he's a bust. I still think you got to give the guy 6 to 8 weeks. I think if this guy begins to, you know, first of all, he's got to catch the ones that are thrown to him. Okay? Of course, if he had caught that one that he dropped, and it was a clear drop. It was a muff. If he had caught that and this team had somehow won that game, then we'd all be saying, oh, Chad Ochocinco, he's back, he's here. Woohoo, we got him, right? When clearly that's not the case. But the touchdown grab would have overshadowed all of it because he would have made the big play. Now, maybe that would have helped the team's confidence in him, and maybe that would have helped his own personal confidence. I will certainly grant you that. But I think it also might have masked a larger problem. And the fact is that he's not grasping things right now to our liking. We don't really know if he's grasping things to their liking. We don't know. Unless you're in that locker room, you don't know. So this is why you have to allow more time for a guy like Ocho. And I think also this is why you've got to allow for more time for, you know, guys like Ellis and Haynesworth, provided they're healthy. There's a lot of different parts that are all moving here, and they're not all moving in the same direction. Let me repeat that. There's a lot of different parts moving here, and they're not moving in the same direction. This is the Patriot problem. Steve asked a good question on Facebook. He says, John, if we'd had the same defense playing the same way in 2009, is the fourth and two call even debatable? Would we even think of questioning it even this past Sunday? And then he says, sorry, I meant to ask, would we even think of questioning it today had it happened just this past Sunday and we lost the game because of it? Well, first of all, if this defense was what it was 2 years ago, no, I don't think we make fourth and two. Well, I don't know. I you know what? No, I can't say that. And the reason is because if this defense was what we had 2 years ago, then I think you got to go for it. The best offense is a good defense. I don't think you're ticking anybody off. If it had happened just this past Sunday and we lost the game because of it, well, I don't think we would have killed him any more for it, because quite frankly, this game was lost when you throw four picks. One of them was a pick six. So you're basically handing him 7 points. As bad as it was, you don't throw the pick six, you still lead on the scoreboard. 31-27. See, it took a pick six to lose the game. It took a pick six. You might still not have lost the game. You might still not have lost the game. If any of those other ones hadn't happened either. So, it's just, again, maybe you do take more chances on offense because you know the defense isn't as capable. And you know what? That shouldn't piss anybody on the defense off. It absolutely shouldn't piss anybody off. Shouldn't upset anybody, period. If anything, it should underscore the need to do the job that's in front of you. Now, there are some issues here. There's some definite issues here that all need a good, solid look at. Eldridge is in North Carolina, and he's in the playbook. Eldridge, how are you?
Fine. How you doing,
sir? I'm all right, man.
I hear your comment, and I want to come in on Chad.
Okay.
I think you're wrong. I think he is a bust. Because when Moss came and Starworth came in 2007, when that one catch away, it didn't take them those 6 to 8 weeks to catch on. And for a couple of years, it didn't take Moss to catch on. I think Chad is just thinking he's in the all with New England, and that's it. I don't think he's trying.
Yeah! Well, here's the thing, Eldridge. You know, back in those seasons, there were OTAs, there were training camps, there was the ability to be able to learn the playbook in the off season, the ability to work in advance of training camp that you didn't have this year. So in effect, what you're doing is you're still going through off season training and training camp right now if you're Chad Ochocinco. So to me, that's why it's really hard to compare to those, you know, last couple of years, because it's not an equal playing field.
Yeah, but you got to admit now, Brady and Moss had a common chemistry. He even called this year trying to talk to Moss. But that's got to be telling you something, because he ain't got no faith in what you call. And it's like the same before. It's a small ball, but you get a good team with two good receivers, a running game, a stuff defense, and a quarterback to throw. Patriots done.
Well, done. Unless they somehow figure out a way to adjust, I can't argue that point. And I won't, because you're right. You know, and here's the other thing about Sunday. You notice that, you know, on two of Brady's interceptions, they came as a result of tips from the defensive line. They knew that the Patriots game was going to be to throw over the middle. They found, obviously, Welker for 16 catches, which is a remarkable performance, and I will get to Wes in just a little bit. But at the same time, they also got their hands on two and caused interceptions that clearly were a factor in the game. Now, don't you know that that book is going to come out? Every team is going to say, all right, if Brady gets a chance to get rid of the ball, you got to jump. And the Patriots, the thing that kills me, and I wrote about this in my column on Go Local Prov this week, the thing that kills me is the Patriots saw that from the first half and didn't adjust. They didn't adjust their roots at all. It was almost like, they're not going to get any footballs. They're not going to tip anything. They didn't do it. You know, couldn't you have gone to more screens? Couldn't you have gone to more bubble screens? Couldn't you have gone to more sideline routes? No, they kept giving the ball to Welker.
Yeah, that's what I hope. But to me, it's like Welker's the only one that was working to get open besides Kanarski. You know,
yeah. Yeah.
I didn't see Deion not one time in the game, and Deion hurt my fantasy league.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
So, you know, I didn't see him not one time trying to break open free, or you know, Brady would win to him.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And Chad, he ain't got no faith in Chad. I don't care what nobody say. He really don't. You know, he might be good for him, but if a quarterback got trust in your faith, he going to throw it to you. You know?
Well, it's pretty hard to argue that point. I certainly going to give you that. But I'm just telling you that I don't think he's a bust yet. I think 3 weeks is too quick to call a guy a bust. Now give me 3 more weeks, and after we get to week 6, and if nothing is improved, all right, then I think you can start using the B word. But until that point in time, you know, it's disappointing. There's no question. He dropped a touchdown pass. It's disappointing. I don't know that it cost us the game, but I'm not ready to call bust yet.
But one more question.
Yep.
Okay. Out of those first 6 picks we had this year, instead of getting run out down, would you think that we better if they just got a better corner that could stay on the field that's more healthy, like Peterson? You know.
Well, Peterson, he wasn't available. I don't think, was he?
He could have been, because we had 6, 2 number one picks.
Oh, I'm saying you're saying trade up for him and get a guy like that, huh?
Yeah.
Well, they've never done that, Eldridge. The Patriots have never taken their picks to trade up. I mean, they don't make a habit of doing that. They look for value later in the draft. They have long had that philosophy, and had they not gone that way, the way that they did, would have been totally against everything that they've ever done in the past. So what you're saying, sure, they could have done it, but it would have been totally against everything that they've done with their track record to this point in time. So to expect the Patriots to do that, you're kind of off the wrong track here. That's not their modus operandi. That's not what they do.
Yeah, but we need help in the secondary.
Well, that's clear. That's clear. They thought that they had value in Rashai Dowling in the first pick of the second round. Now, what we've seen, the very little that we've seen of him, he looks like he might be a keeper. But if you can't stay healthy, then what good are you? And I think ultimately they're going to have to make that decision. I mean, he'll obviously last the year unless, of course, he goes on IR. He'll last the year, but then next year, dude, you better get out there and perform. Otherwise, guess what? You'd be looking for work.
You got that right. But we're going to face our best defensive line that we should have kept. Let's see more come Sunday.
We're going to agree. We're absolutely going to agree. You don't think this team could use Richard Seymour right now?
I bet they're kicking themselves in the butt. If he ain't, he should be.
I think you're right. I think you're right, buddy. I think you're right. Mm-hmm. Eldridge.
All right, so have a good day now.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for the phone call. I think Eldridge is 110% correct there. I think they wish they had Richard Seymour. I don't think they could use him right now. Right now. Chris is in New York. Chris, you're in the playbook.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing, Chris?
First of all, I'd just like to say that I think you're right about your assessment about Ocho. I think, you know, you got to give him a chance to, like, you know, get into the Patriots playbook and, you know, get things in order. I think he needs a little time before he does that. But the question I wanted to ask you is, how do you think we're going to come out this weekend? Or how do you think we're going to perform against Oakland? Do you think we're going to bounce back? Or do you think McFadden is going to do what he did to the Jets last week to us?
Well, I'm very concerned about McFadden. Very concerned. I would tell you, though, that right now, as poorly as the Patriots defense is playing, I think actually they're better against the run than they are against the pass. And that's even watching Fred Jackson gouge him last week. Okay. So I am concerned about McFadden. And if I'm the Raiders, I'm licking my chops thinking, man, we're going to be able to do just about anything we want. We're going to pound the football on the Patriots because they're finesse. You know, they can't physical up to us. We're going to pound them. And then we're going to dare the Patriots to go over the top. We're going to clog the middle. I'm telling you, this is exact. I said this last week before the Buffalo game. I said, if I'm an opposing defense, here's what I'm doing to try to slow down Brady. I'm putting 8 in the box, okay? I'm putting 8 within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. I'm running blitzes. I'm putting heat on Brady. I'm filling the gaps, and I'm making him beat me long because I don't think he can do it. Why? Because Chad Ochocinco can't catch a ball.
But I think that's a freak of nature. Four interceptions, it'll never happen again.
Well, I don't say don't say never, because it's happened now 5 times in his career. So don't say never, because it has happened. It just so happened that he had 4 picks in 1 game, and he had 4 picks the entire season last year, which is just mind-boggling when you really think about it. So it just shows you what an unbelievable performance he had last year, and shows you probably what an aberration This last week was in Buffalo. Does he do it again? Probably not. Can it happen again? Oh, yeah, it can happen again. But even if it does, the thing that disturbs me the most, my biggest nitpick, as I said, Chris, at the start of the show, my biggest nitpick is there's nobody on this team that's willing to step up and say, all right, Tommy's having an off day. I got to get it done. The only other person that can qualify as being eligible here is Welker, but Welker can't throw the ball. Welker can't get on defense and make plays and cover somebody and come up with a pick or make a big tackle or, you know, force a fumble. He can't do that. That's what we need. This team needs a playmaker on defense, and they need help on offense from somebody else. Now, I think what this also shows this last week is how much this team, Rob Gronkowski is a great player, and he could be a Pro Bowl tight end this year. The way he's starting out, this team needs Aaron Hernandez.
Step up, yeah.
Aaron Hernandez is the X factor.
He was there last year. You're right.
Hernandez, I said this before the season started, and I will continue to say it. To me, Hernandez, he's the MVR. He's the most valuable receiver. That takes nothing away from Welker. But Welker can't do the things that Hernandez can do. Hernandez is hard to guard because of his size and his speed. He can stretch a field like Welker can't. He can go over the middle like Welker can. He can block like Welker can't. Hernandez is the guy you need back in that arsenal on offense. And then maybe you can overcome, say, a 2 or 3 pick game. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I hope we do it this week.
Well, I don't think he's coming back this week. I think Hernandez is out probably for a couple of more weeks. That's what we're hearing anyway.
I'm talking about us in general. I hope.
Oh, you mean as far as Oakland's concerned? Look,
yeah.
I don't think this team's going to turn. I don't think Brady's going to throw 4 picks this week. So that right there is going to keep the team in the game. You know, but the question is, you know, how does Oakland play ball control? If I'm Oakland, I'm keeping the ball out of Brady's hands. So I'm pounding away with McFadden. I'm using a controlled passing game if I got to throw the football. But I'm going to pound and pound and pound. I'm going to make the Patriots stop me. I'm going to chew up the clock. I want 5, 6, and 7 minute offensive drives. If I get that, we're going to have a chance to win the game. I do think the Patriots will bounce back, but right now, you know, if I had to make a pick right now, I'm probably saying Oakland in a tight one. I might change my mind in a couple of days. I got to give it some more thought.
Well, I blindly go with the Patriots. So I always go with the Pats. So I'm just going to say Pats, even though I'm scared of Oakland right now.
Yeah, well, you should be scared. I agree with that.
Ah, man. All right, man.
You thanks, Chris. Yeah, you bye-bye. Too. Thanks for the call. It's good stuff right there. How about Sean in Salt Lake City, Utah? Sean, you're in the playbook.
Hey, I heard you talking to a caller a little bit ago about that we'll never go up in the draft. It's against team policy.
Well, it's not policy, but it's just what they've that's what they've done. They just don't do that.
Well, we did when we got Jared Mayo.
Gerard Mayo. Gerard Mayo. Yeah.
Gerard Mayo.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Well, I was just calling in to say we have done it. It's just very rare.
Okay.
So, and on the defense,
yeah,
as bad as they looked, I mean, part of it was the picks. I just think every person, I don't think the defense lost. I don't think the offense, the whole team lost the game for us. Okay. I personally think just every division of the team just coughed it up Sunday.
Hard to argue that.
And I mean, on the defense, I don't know if it's more of a hope than anything. I just feel with the safety situation, they're still trying to get a feel for that. I still have hope for our defense. I don't know if there's going to be much of one, but
well, as I said,
week 6 or whatever, they can get in a groove and stop giving up 400 yards a game.
Well, Sean, as I suggested earlier, that's exactly what they have to do. 3 weeks is probably a little bit too early to, you know, call it and say that the season's a total failure. It's not. You know, as far as, you know, your point on Mayo is concerned, yeah, that's true. But how many guys like Mayo are out there? They you know, very rarely have ever done anything like that. They did it in Mayo's case. Okay, you got me on that one. But you know what? The reason I'm not thinking about it is what has Mayo done this year? Nothing.
I think Mayo's been pretty decent this year.
Where has he been? Has he made any plays? Wake me up when he makes a play. Makes a play. It'll be the first time. What games are you watching?
He's not making any game-changing plays, but...
And that's exactly what I said this team needs. This team needs guys that can step up and make game-changing plays. It's one thing to go out there and do your job, which, frankly, we don't have enough of right now. Maybe he's doing that to an extent. But this team needs game-changers.
Everybody just do your job!
Exactly. And then some.
Alrighty.
And then some.
Have a nice day.
Thanks, Sean. How about that? Sean had to call him Bust My Chops. What's Gerard Mayo? Jared Mayo, as he said. What's Jared Mayo? Okay. We're human. We're not perfect here. God almighty, we're far from it. Holy crap. Dagmar, you're in the playbook. What's up, man? Oh, come on, there it is. Now, there you go. Hello.
Yeah, what's up, Benningo?
What's up, Dag?
Good. Hey, no, just getting over the hurricane loss the other day and the Patriots lost.
Too. I know.
Yeah. Do you have any chance to check out the player I told you last week?
Yeah, I saw some of the clips that you sent me.
Yeah, he put on the live show this weekend again, so you may probably be able to see something about him.
Well, we'll keep,
anyways,
keep an eye on
the Patriots. Yeah, Lamar Miller. Yeah, the running back. Talking about the Patriots, I want you to picture this specifically at the safety position. Last year, and this means anywhere you want to put it, distributed or what, one injury last season would mean that you would have on the field to at least two starting caliber safeties on the field. Anywhere you can, you would distribute it, whether let it be Merriweather, Sanders, Chong, whoever you wanted to put on the injury list, you will still have the chance to put two starting caliber safeties on the field.
Mm-hmm.
This year, one injury, and you end up with two backups at the safety spot on the field. What do you think about that?
All right, ask me the question again, though, because I'm not sure what your question is.
I mean, last year, if you would say, okay, one of our safety is injured,
yeah,
you will still have the chance to put on the field on Sundays two starting caliber safeties, okay?
So you're saying they should have kept one of the two guys they let go?
Unless you are pretty sure that what you still keep on the team, like the ones that we kept, number 30, number 31 now, Sergio Brown, who I don't have anything personal with him, but I don't think they're up too far compared to the two guys that we let go, man.
Okay. Well, you know, it's all hindsight. I mean, you know, sure, Dagmar, I actually think they should have done something like that. I was totally and completely surprised that they let both of those guys go. But they clearly, for whatever reason, they didn't think Sanders would be able to stay on the field due to some of his health issues. They've already got that problem with the guys they kept. And Merriweather, they didn't keep around because they clearly have gone to more of a man, type of coverage system, and they didn't think he could fill the bill. They didn't think he'd be willing to adjust the way that they needed him to adjust. I said that a couple of weeks ago, and I'll say it again now. I think that was just sort of a philosophical difference that they had with a guy like Merriweather. Even
I understand that.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, go on.
I understand that part, and in a way, I think that maybe this coaching staff has gone a little bit too cerebral on this team. And I would always remind myself, I keep in mind, that the safety, and especially the free safety position, if you're going to have a game player or a playmaker or a risk taker, or let's say it's somebody who's going to behead somebody from the offense, that's got to be your safety. I mean, you have your front seven, and then you have your corners, I'm behind and you have the gun out. Okay, whoever is going to attempt to catch a ball, either down the seam, in the middle, post route, corner, whatever route they're going to run, if you're going to have a guy that is going to be hitting those guys so they don't go after that same play over and over again, that's mm-hmm. going to be your safety. Mm-hmm. It'd be like the philosophy that they got to raise with that position.
Okay.
This cover, like man-to-man cover, man, it isn't cutting it, man.
Yeah.
It's not working.
Okay. You're right. Well, you're right. It's not working. I mean, it's always easy for us to look in hindsight, isn't it, and say, wow, that wasn't a good move. Here's what they should have done, even though clearly at the time, you know, you like to tend to think that they've made the right move and that, you know, we trust their moves. I mean, haven't we always said in Bill we trust?
Sure.
I know a lot of fans. Sure. A lot of fans still say that right now. I'm not panicking. It's only 3 weeks. Yeah. I'm not panicking.
No, me neither. But, I mean, I am... You don't have to be a scientist to know that either. I mean, anyone in that coaching staff knows more football than anyone who attempts to call to this show or who attempts to actually talk on this show.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that they cannot take sometimes the risky and sometimes the wrong decision.
Right.
So
you're right.
That's all I'm saying.
You're right, and your points are well taken, buddy.
Okay.
All right, Dagmar. Thanks, man. There's that's a diehard fan right there. Yeah, I think we have to realize, and I think some of the gist of what he's talking about here is the fact that, you know, quite frankly, we shouldn't expect the coaching staff to make 100% the right move. He's right. Dagmar's right. We shouldn't expect that. They're going to mess up. They're human too. Look, we don't expect Tom Brady, and I began this program by, you know, thinking, you know, hey, we can't expect Tom Brady to be perfect. We can't expect him to be Superman every week. He's going to have a week sometimes where he's going to throw 2, 3, and yes, even 4 picks. He did this last week. So we have to expect that the team, the personnel evaluators are going to, here we go again, Kevin, misevaluate, which they did. But now, what do you do with it? What do you do because of that? How do you bounce back from that? Okay, so we misevaluated. All right, so now how do we make chicken salad out of chicken? You know what? This is where we are right now. You've got to try to figure this out one way or the other and work with what you got because you don't have training camp anymore. It's over. You know, and except for some street free agents, potentially as injuries occur, what help can you possibly get? They've done their due diligence all along. They bring in guys every week for tryouts. But if these guys were better than what they already have, don't you think they'd have a spot on the roster? Of course they would. This is what you got. So now you got to coach up the guys you have. Did they misevaluate at safety? Did they misevaluate in the secondary? They might have. Did they misevaluate on guys like, you know, Ellis and Carter and Anderson to begin with? They might have. But I think we still need some more time to evaluate it fully. Last week was a bad loss. There's no question about it. They should not have lost that game. They did. Doesn't every team, generally speaking, doesn't every team have 1 or 2 weeks during the course of a season where you say, God, they shouldn't have lost that game? The only exception to that I can think of is in 2007, and the Patriots saved their worst game for the very last.
They still won.
Well, they won.
Regular season.
Regular season.
Yes, because they did give up a ton of points in that last game to the Giants.
They did.
38-35.
They did. So, but they saved the stinker for the Super Bowl.
True.
Okay? So everybody plays a game, even the best teams in history. With one exception, you know, those 17-0 Miami Dolphins, damn them. That's the only team in the history of football that has been perfect. That's right. Thank you, Flipper. So it just doesn't happen.
I'm still sick, though.
Just like the Patriots don't trade up for draft picks.
I'm going to be sick until 7 whatever on Sunday unless they win.
I know.
I take it very personally, John.
I know.
Especially
I know.
When you're there firsthand.
Yeah.
You're getting flipped the bird by 5 million creeps from Buffalo. Moon
you
and
got
Yen.
Flipped off?
Oh, yeah. They're throwing things at the bus when you're leaving with the team. All sorts
nice.
Of
nice. Well, see, that's what 15 straight losses will
personal.
Do to you.
It's personal now, John Rook.
That's what 15 straight losses will do to you. It's kind of like, you know, I hate your guts. F you. Get out.
On the way in, I was kind of laughing and was like, this is cool. I really didn't have any ill will. I mean, how could you against the Bills? And now I'm just an angry, angry, bitter man.
Now you want payback,
waiting
right?
To wage my revenge on the whole city of
you
Buffalo.
Want, that's right. You want payback. I can understand you wanting payback. Totally understand that.
It gets personal, John, when you actually go there.
I know. It's tough. I know. All right. Steve in Killeen, Texas. Steve, you're up next in the playbook.
Vengeance will be ours, my brothers.
There you go. I like it.
John, this is just kind of a tale of two halves to be certain in this one. Okay. Looking at the first half, as I told the PFW gang, everything we could have wanted as fans was happening. They were executing. The defense appeared to be exerting their will. And while it wasn't three and out the majority of that half, it was enough where it just seemed like they were going to dominate that entire game. And I think the wheels just kind of came off in the second half, excluding Brady's interceptions. Here's why. Basically, this was a 0-3 game in favor of Buffalo because Brady scored in response to every one of those turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
The killer for me, and you know, I'm not going to beat up Ocho, but man, that was a tough one to take.
Yeah, it was. It was very hard to swallow. He should have had it. He didn't have it. Yeah, it's all right. So now what?
And then the tip of the end zone that TB kind of forced there. That you know that could have gone either way on any given day. So, but as I said, this is basically 3-0 favor of the Bills as far as the actual score when it comes down to it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it comes down to the defense exerting their will. And, you know, I just kind of like to see Belichick come in the second half basically with, you know, unleash hell and release the hounds and just let the defense go basically balls out and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't know why that didn't happen. You know, again,
I don't either.
The bend don't break mentality of the Patriots or the philosophy that was there, and I'm not going to second guess it.
Weren't we supposed to, Steve, weren't we supposed to have more of an attacking type defense this year? Weren't we led to believe that?
Well, given bringing in Big Al, having an all-pro in Wilfork up front, I would have liked to see pockets collapsing, you know, minute one, game one. I haven't really seen that. I'd like to see, you know, a young secondary. I can cut them a little bit of slack, but I'd like to see at least a monster LB back there. You know, not necessarily like a Polamalu, but in that mindset of, if you have the ball, you better expect somebody to punch you in the mouth and quick, and you won't know where it's coming from. Yeah, I haven't seen that maturity happen with any sort of consistency yet, except for this first half, to giving the defense some credit there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the case of McCourty, I don't know if he's just overmatched or if it's a matter of style of play. So, the questions that we've had week one and coming out of the preseason, I think still persist, John, of when are we going to see the pieces fall into place for the defense as a whole? Is it a matter of these guys just not having the time together to grow and mature as that part of the team? You know, the offense, again, any given day, a quarterback's going to have a day like Brady had.
Yep.
And my point was, points-wise, he offset that.
Yep.
The offense got it done.
Yep.
By and large.
Yep. Yep. I'm right there with you, Steve. That's pretty level-headed. You know, I don't think I looked at it that level-headed after the game was over.
No, it took me a couple of days to get to you, John. You know, I went to church on Sunday, said my prayers, you know, got my heart right with Jesus, and came back a little bit more focused than I might have been. That's I mean, good. This conversation, you know, at like 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon.
That's good stuff.
But more to the point, John, I tried to see if the PFW guys are going to step up. I was thinking about sending you a gallon bottle of Dave's Ultimate Insanity and seeing if Pete Shepherd and the boys would step up and do some Texas style wings with you.
I think Eric brought you a little
present. Did he?
I think he might have.
So
don't tell him I teased it.
So there might be a little gift
there
tomorrow.
There might be a gift tomorrow in your future.
Excellent.
So I got to upsize you, though, because whatever Eric brought you probably won't be a gallon.
No, it won't be a gallon. Definitely won't be a gallon. But you know what, though? If you send something along, well, I'll make sure that everybody here gets a little sample.
All right, I'll gladly do that.
See, we'll take care
of lubricants.
Yes, lubricants. We'll definitely take care of that. We'll definitely lubricate around here.
The idea is to bring the heat for the rest of the season, John.
Good A. I like the analogy. See, Steve, you're a table setter. I like that.
So I'll try and set that one up. So I'll look at sending it on to One Patriot Place, care of you, John, and let you guys enjoy that.
Send it to Kevin Collins. He's the producer, and everything can roll through him.
All right, good enough, John. You guys take care, and as always, keep up the great work.
Thanks, buddy. All right.
Tell Shepard to get the wings ready.
You won't have any problem with that.
I didn't think so.
Thanks,
all right,
Steve.
Brother, take care.
Yeah, good to talk to you.
Joe, hit your meat.
Kat in Chicago. Thanks for hanging on, Kat. You're in the playbook. Kat, you there?
Oh, hey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thanks. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I think everybody's been beating up the secondary, obviously, with reason.
Yep. yeah, no kidding, huh?
Yeah. But to me, there's also the problem of, you know, I think you said it earlier, really the only thing this defense can do is stop the run.
Right.
You know? And I like the 5-2 sets. I like, you know, I like seeing all those guys on the line, and I think that's great, right?
Well, you know what?
The problem.
Yeah, the thing is that they're not getting any pressure. So you got to figure out.
I agree.
You got to give some looks there. You got to change things up. You got to put somebody on the line that's able to get in there. And
well,
you know, if you put a little, you know, 52, you put a little 34. You know, the one thing that I haven't seen, and I mentioned this earlier, Kat, that I really like to see is I'd like to see some blitzes. Have we run one blitz this year?
Well, I think there was a safety blitz that Chunk got in.
Yeah,
at
but
one
we don't.
Point, I think in the second game.
But we didn't have Chung, so can't somebody else? Isn't
right.
somebody else capable of running a safety blitz even without Pat Chung in there?
No, I don't think so.
Well, okay, and okay. Now
the
I
problem.
Think Kat, we're getting to the problem. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, my other problem too is I see them rushing Ninkovic all the time, and half the time he looks like he doesn't know. You know, there were a couple plays in this recent game where he was free. He was open.
Mm-hmm.
He could rush the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, he's running to the pile.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, what is he doing? You know, why? And secondly, in that second quarter, you know, they he was on the outside in the first quarter, and he was trying to get in there. And first of all, I just don't think he's powerful enough to get past some of those linemen and ends. And secondly, he looked tired. I mean, he looked really tired in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wasn't motoring anymore. And I'm thinking to myself, why in the preseason, I think we saw some good sets where they were rushing Fletcher up the middle. You know, why are we not seeing any of these things that they tried in the preseason in the actual game?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, preseason, you usually just sort of make things vanilla, right? You kind of dumb things down. You don't show people what you got. But we're not even seeing that. I mean, we're kind of seeing a continuation of what we really saw in the preseason, aren't we? And it's not working.
Honestly, I think it's gotten worse.
Well,
I
can't argue that. They're giving up way more points.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm at a loss. I mean, I think we're all at a loss. And I think the guys down the hallway also have to be at a loss because, clearly whatever they're doing isn't working. So everybody has to take it upon themselves now to somehow figure out a way to make a play. To somehow, you know, make a stop. The coaches also have to figure out a way to, you know, scheme, I think, better against an opposing team because there's no way that Ryan Fitzpatrick should torch you for 360 or 70 yards. That just
Ryan
shouldn't
Fitz
happen.
Magic?
It shouldn't happen. I mean, that's
yeah,
just Ryan Fitzpatrick. You're absolutely right. So, that one frustrates me a lot. I don't want to undersell his ability. I think he's turned out to be a very solid quarterback. I think he's a great story, you know, being a Harvard kid and all that. Sometimes you just never know. And I'm happy that he's found himself a career. But I would have bet anything that losing Roscoe Parrish as they did last week would have caused them to throw C.J. Spiller out there in the slot a little bit more. And we even talked about this on the show last week. And find a way to force-feed him the ball a little bit and see if they can't turn C.J. Spiller into their version of Wes Welker, which then might open it up for their bigger receivers. But what the Bills did instead was they said, we don't think the Patriots can cover us man-on-man. We have bigger, taller receivers. We got, you know, Jones and those guys, and we just don't think the Patriots can cover us in that, and so we're going to let Fitzpatrick over the top. Now, to Fitzpatrick's credit, this was the most impressive thing about Sunday. He threw two picks early, both of them taken by Kyle Arrington, as you'll recall. Seems like that happened a year ago, didn't it? But he did not panic. They stayed with the game plan after the Patriots ran out to a 21-0 lead. They did not panic. Whereas the Patriots, I thought, when the Bills closed within 21-17, you could see panic. You could feel panic. They completely and totally reversed that on New England. That is so un-New England-like. That, to me, is the greatest nitpick, the biggest disappointment. There was nobody to stand up and say, okay, Tom sucks today. I'm going to stop it right here. I'm going to put this team on my shoulders and do it. Nobody exists to do that. That was disappointing more than anything else.
Well, I mean, I think, too, your point, you know, obviously it's been talked to death, but you know, the running game, and where was Ridley in the last quarter? Where was, you know what I mean? Why aren't we running the ball? We have no balance at all in any phase of this entire team. There's no balance on offense. There's no balance on defense. It's just like the same one trick pony on both sides, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, going to be some soul searching to do this week. There's no doubt about it. There needs to be some ass kicking done this week too.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I mean, there's some guys out there that are underperforming. Well, okay, come on down. Come on over. I mean, we're always ready for Chicago. Come on in. But I mean, they have to take these guys they have on the field, the ones that are healthy. They got to figure out a way to, you know, hey, if you're going to play, we need to play this way. But something has to change. Whether or not we throw blitzes in there, whether or not these guys in the secondary throw some more zone in there, something has to change. Because you cannot continue to do what you've done and continue to get steamrolled and run over and passed over like this team has been passed over for three straight weeks now.
Right. I think a reasonable pass rush would certainly help with that.
There's no doubt. And I think, I really believe, Kat, that is exactly where this team is malfunctioning.
Right.
That the coaches thought that they were going to get more of a pass rush that they're not getting. That's why they thought they could get away with playing the man coverage based on what they saw last year from a guy like McCourty and what they saw 2 years ago from a guy like Lee Bodden, who missed all of last year. So,
and who doesn't look like he's come back?
No. No, he doesn't. He looks a step slow, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He looks 2-3 steps slower.
And that's trouble. So when you combine the fact that those two guys are having, you know, just say less than satisfactory beginnings to the season with no pass rush, oh my goodness, that is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
It's disaster, and that's exactly what we saw last week. And, then, of course, we could be reading way more into this because, you know what, it still took four Tom Brady interceptions to lose the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, but do you want to win every game you play 35-28? Because that's really what you're heading toward right now. And
I was excited in the preseason. I took the Patriots D, you know, as a fantasy option. You know, I thought, well, I'm liking some of the looks here. You know, the 3-4 or the 4-3 rather. Maybe it'll do something. But you know, I hope they get it together.
Well, you know, the good part about all this is, and we have tried to mix in a few of the positives here with the negatives as we always do on Tuesdays. But you know, the positives here is the fact that it's only 3 weeks into the year. Okay. And we do have to give this team 6 to 8 weeks because there was no offseason. There were no TAs. There were no mini camps. There were no rookie combine. There was no nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
So these guys are still working their way through. Now, again, everybody in the NFL is on the same page here. Everybody's like this. But what it tells you, though, is that, well, the field is level for everyone as well. The teams that are going to have success are, one, they're going to game plan against the opponent better. Number two, they're going to be able to stay healthier for the most part.
Right.
Because everybody else knows everybody. And I think teams are relatively even. So, you know, the coaching staff needs to step up and figure out a way to win with what we have. And then you got to get the guys who have missed time, you got to get them healthy. And they did miss Pat Chung, and they did miss Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
There's no question they missed those two guys more than any two guys they missed those two guys big time. Because if you have Chung, you might not get beat on one or two of those plays. If you have Hernandez, you probably score another touchdown or two, and the game's different. And then, you know, we're still bitching about the defense this week, but at least we're bitching about the defense after a 45-34 win.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Right?
Yep.
Kat, good stuff.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, thanks for calling. I appreciate your time today. All right, I got a bunch of emails here. You guys have been great today, as you always are, but especially on a Nitpick Tuesday. I'm going to get to as many of them as I can. I've still got some Facebook posts I want to get to as well. In the meantime, if you want to call in, you can do so at 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. It has been humming today. I knew it would. You guys have not failed. That's fantastic. I know that you have a need to kind of get off your chest what's in your chest. Even 2 days after the fact. I couldn't wait to get to the show today to talk to you about this. I really could not. And you haven't disappointed. Except the guy who busted my chops about Jared Mayo. That was pretty good, though. He's right. He was totally right. You know what? You get carried away sometimes. What can I say? Well, they did trade up. They did trade up. Well, yeah, they did. They did. Once. In like, what, 11 years? It's not very often, is it? It kind of sometimes loses, you know, its sense of place. Matthew in Plainfield, Connecticut. I agree with what you guys are saying. The defense currently stinks. We can't cover receivers. We put no pressure on the quarterback. We can't make a play when we absolutely have to. The offense did struggle, but the question I asked myself before the game, if Brady struggles, can the defense win a game for us? Well, they showed me the answer to the question. I'm optimistic, though. Defense stunk. Offense made too many mistakes and only lost by three. Okay, let's stop. Matthew, they played Buffalo. That's Buffalo. It wasn't the Jets they were playing. They played Buffalo. That wasn't the Dallas Cowboys they were playing. They played Buffalo. That wasn't the Green Bay Packers they were playing. Buffalo. Buffalo. I also agree that we asked too much from Brady. I think we need to use our running backs more. We drafted two. Use them! Well, you know what? I think Stephen Ridley, actually, believe it or not, was he was a bright spot. I don't know why they got away from him. They went back to Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, which I really don't have a problem with either. But, you know, Ridley was showing some maneuverability. He was showing, here's another rookism, missability. We've misevaluated, and now we're now you got missability. And he had that. You know, he's got the little side-to-side, you know, swervy thing going. You know, that running backs, good running backs seem to have. The ability to make people miss you in the open field. I did see that out of Ridley, and I think he was a definite bright spot of the game. You're right, let's use him. We need to figure out this defense ASAP. I still think we'll have in the division and the Super Bowl. Okay. The eternal optimist right there. Dan says, this is in Hopkinton, Mass. Did you happen to see the Niagara Comet this past weekend? It happens once every 8 years. Good one. Obviously, we have some serious problems at safety. What about switching up Dowling and Brown? Does Brown have the speed to cover as a corner since he's great at jumping routes? Brown and Barrett just aren't adding enough help over the top for our corners. One day they will be quite good, but they aren't ready to be starters yet unless we can shield them by putting up ridiculous numbers of points while they get their reps and grow. All right, that's a good point right there. You're right. I think the Patriots have decided that they might be able to shield these guys a little bit. The problem is that Brady threw four picks, and so they couldn't put up as many points as they really needed to do this last weekend in order to win the game. I mean, that's really where we are. What veterans are out there that we can still grab to lend a hand at safety? Street free agents, guys that are probably past their prime. They've done their homework on them. They brought guys in for workouts. I would say no one. No one better than what they have right now. Otherwise, I feel very confident this team would have them in here. But if this problem persists, Dan, I'll tell you, if it persists, well, then we'll see some changes, and they might bring in some of those street free agents. It's possible. All right, Jeff. Jeff is writing from, he doesn't say, and he writes a really long email. I had this old elaborate email I was going to send you guys last night, but after I looked at the length of it, I said to myself, there's no effing way they'll read all of this. This is the condensed version? All right, I'm going to touch on a couple of high points here, buddy. Frankly, many of your callers are clueless when it comes to football. To expect this offense to play any more consistently or be any more productive than it already has is not realistic. At some point, a championship team has to have an offense, has to have a defense that wins a game or two. Relative to the production of this offense, that's not a lot to ask. I certainly agree with that point. Here's the deal. Pat's defense is all, the pass defense is almost as bad as the offense is good. And because of this, that is, and will always be, the near equalizer for any team playing the Pats. It's as simple as that. Use the eyeball test. The defender is always trailing the receiver. How many pass breakups do you see? Zero. The defenders never have any closing speed on the receiver. I watched two supposedly weaker teams than the Pats make great plays against the pass in last night's game. In fact, I liked hearing Paul earlier mention Dallas is number 50 making plays. Linebacker. That's correct. No closing speed. When is the last time you saw the Pats linebackers make plays in the passing game? Gerard Mayo was the 10th pick in the draft. He's a hardworking, selfless team player, but I expect him to be more than a thumper. I expect him to be Baby Ray Lewis in the making. I expect him to be Patrick Willis, Brian Urlacher, a true three-down linebacker. Name one time Mayo in 4 years has ever made one play in the passing game. That was the point I made earlier to the caller. They called in and bust my chops about him. Brewski was drafted as a defensive lineman out of college and converted to linebacker in the NFL and constantly made plays in the passing game, always getting in the passing lanes, picking off the ball, blitzing, stripping, etc. Look, I could say that the problems are all generally on the defense, but let's boil it down even further. It's the pass defense. Specifically, it's the back seven of the defense. They can't cover. This includes the linebackers. This has been a trend for some time. I believe it's a combination of an archaic defensive system combined with inferior athletes in the back seven. In fact, I believe when Belichick says the pass rush has been okay, he's telling the truth. When you look at the quarterbacks the Pats play, they have to get rid of the ball about as quickly as any other quarterback in the NFL. Would you say that opposing quarterbacks have the same amount of time in the pocket as our own Tom Brady? Of course not. Brady has time to call Giselle when he drops back. This is an excellent email, Jeff. I'm sorry that it's so long. I still feel Brady is at the top of his game. I truly believe he's the best quarterback of the game, but that window is closing, and with it, another Super Bowl championship. And then he kind of ends up by saying here, it's frustrating that this Patriots team has never found it necessary to surround him with, at the very least, a mid-tier defense that could pick up the slack when the offense has a bad day. Jeff, after reading your email, and by the way, good job out of you. Good job of editing if that thing was actually longer after the game on Sunday, because that was enormous as it was. But I'm the overall impression that I'm left with after reading your email is that the Patriots are becoming the Indianapolis Colts. Somebody emailed me that. Somebody posted that on my Facebook page, too. Are we becoming the Colts? I would say yes. We're becoming the Colts. Now, the Colts won a Super Bowl like this, largely, although you could certainly make the argument that their defense the year that they won it was better than what we've seen from the Patriots thus far. But if the Patriots' defense could improve to the point where the Colts' defense was the year that they won it, you might still have a shot. But I think Green Bay's is better overall. Good job, Jeff. Brian says, Rook, I thought we would come into this game with a run-heavy offense. After 14 points, I was sure we'd see plenty of running. What happened? Was Billy trying to get Brady to new heights with passing yards? Are we really there and no one will talk about it? Clearly, they should have been running the ball a lot more. Vereen was running well. Passing out of the backfield with a lead looked good to me. Sometimes you need to go with what the other team didn't game plan for. Situational football, for crying out loud. Brian, I won't argue with that. Then he says, at least we got something for Seymour. We didn't get anything for the safeties. And that's also a very good point, and that's something that we probably should have. That's probably something, you know, we should have done. I mean, I think that was also a missed opportunity. I realize they probably didn't want to mess with it. They probably didn't think they would get anything for the safeties, but they did. They were picked up lickety-split by Atlanta and by Chicago. Boom, done. And maybe those guys, maybe they weren't willing to give up a draft pick. Maybe the Patriots should have held on to him in the first place. Then they could have gotten something for them. I don't know. It's all water under the bridge now, but you got something for Seymour and you thought he was washed up. You thought Merriweather was washed up and you don't get something for him? Isn't that just sort of like inconsistent? I mean, what's the philosophy here with this? Are we just going to give up on guys when we no longer think they can perform? That's it? Done? Cut? We're not going to get anything for them? If we had gotten some of those guys, would we feel differently right now? Maybe not. But I think you could certainly say legitimately you could feel differently in the big picture because you know you'd have a draft pick or two. You don't have them. You gave them up. Carte blanche, you gave them up. Says, I thought we'd come into this game with a... Oh, he says, Ridley was running well. Yeah, that's right. I know, he meant Ridley. Okay, no problem. Robin in Alaska. The offense knows how to pick up the pieces when Brady drops his game. I don't need to list the stat line for Welker, Gronk, and even Ridley. The ire must be put on the defense for not being able to rise up. We're all in agreement here, Robin. By the way, Ocho isn't even worth mentioning, but write him off. Asking Ocho to rise up at this point is like expecting Slater to be a starting wide receiver. Ocho is playing like a Jag. We should reward him as such until he shows he isn't. And I say that loving the guy's persona. It's the defense that sucks, and we can't let the spotlight slide away from them because Brady had a bad day. McCourty is showing himself to be a fraud. Ooh. Strong words. Spikes is spitting on that 55. Number 55 viewers. I'll cut Mayo some slack, and here's why. He can't make plays when he and Wilfork are the only men on the defense that can tackle. No one covers anyone. No one can rush. Considering that it's understandable that Mayo is always darting around the field, the man is picking up the pieces for nine other guys. Okay. Pretty good, Robin. I'll buy that analogy defensively. Wilfork making plays. Mayo running around the field with a chicken, like a chicken with his head cut off. Trying to make plays, trying to cover for other guys. But you're right, nobody's covering. The next guy they cover will be the first guy they cover this year. That's the scary part. This team cries out for cover two, zone, something. And they just, why? I mean, I don't know. John. Wow, where to start? Two out of the four interceptions were definitely Tom's fault. The attempt at Gronk, bad decision, as was the boink off the helmet. The secondary, for Pete's sake, will somebody call Rodney Harrison and get him an offer? Where's the presence? Where's the leadership? Where's the attitude that made receivers afraid to go across the middle? The front line D. At the start of the season, we all bought into this defense that Bill created was unstoppable. Well, they look nice in preseason, but not so good since. How many sacks have they had? How many rushes? My biggest nitpick for the game, the last 2 minutes. We absolutely needed to just let them in, so we had 2 minutes left to score. Instead, we handed over clock control completely to the Bills. I agree with that. I think that was blown on both ends. I don't know what Coach Belichick was arguing about. He should have just kept his mouth shut and let him run a stinking play. Now, again, I don't know that Buffalo wouldn't have done the same thing. But because they called a timeout, I think Buffalo realized, I think that might have served as impetus for Buffalo to say, you know what? Let's just go on a knee here and run the clock out. We don't want to put the ball back in Brady's hands. I don't get it. You know, you're trying, I know, and Bill would say, well, we're trying to win a game. Well, okay. Not really. You're trying to win a game. You want to win the game the only way that you can possibly win the game, and that's by putting the ball back in Brady's hands. Not by trying to make a goal line stand at the 1 yard line, which you have no hope of making. Zero. No hope. He says, I want a P.S. Ryan Fitzpatrick, you just beat the Pats for the first time in 16 games. Quit your whining about being poked and prodded in the pile. Quit your whining about Tom Brady not sticking around to shake hands. Take the win. Be proud of an excellent performance and shut the hell up. And then he says, and P.P.S. Chad Ochocinco dropped it. You're fired. I'm not ready to go that far with Chad yet. Kevin in Ohio. John, I made my annual pilgrimage with my brother to Foxborough to see the Chargers game. Sounded like you calling the game in the stadium. Do you call the Patriots home games? Yes, I do. I have been the Patriots announcer for 19 years. Let's see. Donald. John, best show on Patriots.com. Thank you. I'd like to see a couple of bold moves that will light a fire in the locker room. Okay. Bold moves. I think that might be a good topic for tomorrow. Maybe we'll kind of keep that on the burner. How do we shake it up? Make a bold move here. Who needs to start? Who needs to come in? Who needs to play? Who needs to step up? Bold moves. Bold moves. Hey, Donald. All right. I like it. Gene in Daytona. Patriots defense looked so good in the first two preseason games that with the aggressive attack and type of defense, all the guys in defense were excited about themselves. And then what happened to change that? I don't know, but now all of a sudden they're playing on their heels and looking pretty down. Well, I don't know that they were so aggressive in the first 2 weeks. They were still giving up plenty of yardage, Gene. But they were completely on their heels against Ryan Fitzpatrick. Completely. Why doesn't BB have enough confidence in these guys and let them go play? They can't look any worse, can they? I think they did this last week. You can't play like a championship defense unless you believe you are one first. As much as I don't like Rex Ryan, he got the Jets defense to believe in themselves, gave them an identity. Well, maybe except this last week against Oakland. Getting on Ocho's case will not help anything. He needs to play through this. The brakes will start going his way. He can start by wearing the same shoes as his teammates. He needs to stand out by accomplishment. I also said last week this was the one game, the only game I was worried about, and I'm sorry I was right. I also said the Pats 15-1 with the Bills into the playoffs and the Jets out. All right, you know, Gene, that's why I read your email, because I do remember your email last week. I remember you saying, and I remember saying, does he really know what he's talking about here? Gene said call the Patriots 15-1 and that this would be their only loss. All right, Gene, there you go. You have now been put up on the pedestal. So let's see if it happens. Can the Patriots rip off 13 straight wins here? And can the Jets miss out on the playoffs? All right. Gene in Daytona, you're on the clock. Mike from Virginia, formerly of Mass, he says, John, I understand the salary cap and having players signed multiple years at ridiculous contracts can set your team up for failure. However, there were multiple big-name free agents that were signed for just 1 year. My question is there an incentive for the team to spend less? I mean, why are there teams that don't like to spend? Maybe because there are owners that don't like giving up their money. Just a thought. I mean, you know, let's say you got $100 in your pocket and there's something for $20 that, you know, you'd like to have, but you don't really need. Now, if you're not sure where your next $100 is coming from, are you going to spend that $20? Mm-mm. No, probably not. And I think there are some owners that kind of treat, you know, things like that. You could spend up to the cap, but you don't have to spend to the cap. Of course, the teams that don't spend to the cap are the ones that usually don't do too well. Just a thought. But I think it's kind of human nature, in all honesty. Just kind of human nature. Okay. What else we got here? Let's see. Moving right along. Joshua. Did Eldridge in the opening hour when he called in. Did he really suggest that the Patriots should have traded up for Peterson at the corner in the draft? For crying out loud, everyone was killing them for taking Dowling in the second. People would have gone off the ledge if they had taken a corner in the first. People, stop flip-flopping and pretending like you can tell BB what he should have done based upon what we know today. Deal with it. The Patriots will be fine. It is one loss, for crying out loud. The defense will come around. By the way, Joshua says the caller is wrong about the whole caller with Gerard Mayo. He says the Patriots traded down, then back up to get Mayo. Not the same. Wrong. Okay. Maybe that's why I didn't think of it. I'll give you credit on that one, Joshua. You're right. You're right. They did trade down initially and then took the extra pick when they traded down and went back up with it. They don't normally do that. But what was the first move? They traded down. Donald in Marietta, Georgia. Here's a couple of bold moves that will light a fire in the locker room and bring immediate improvement on the field. Wave Ocho. Sign Randy to create fear of the offense. We don't have 6 weeks to make a decision. Next, sign Darren Sharper to bring some confidence and competence to the backfield. These two moves can combine to wake up the team and regain some confidence. Robin says, in regards to tweaking the defense on the fly with street free agents, Lofa Tatupu is still available. Can't believe he went from being Mayo to Ocho in 1 year. I believe he has a higher asking price, which I suppose might have turned off the Patriots already. But as an in-season pickup, couldn't there be some creativity there? Doesn't Lofa have to be better than Spikes? The latter, who looks like the linebacking version of a lost child in a shopping mall. Ooh. Wow. It's actually a pretty good analogy, but... Come on, Pete. That was funny. I like that line. That was good. We've actually had some really good emails and calls today. All right, Tiffany. She sounds in today. Tiffany, Wisconsin, brings it. She brings it strong. John, Brady's only four picks in 2010 were an anomaly. Woodson had an opportunity to pick Tom at least twice last year during the Packer-Patriot game. Moving on, you asked, you made an interesting point about the zone in 2010. Twice I sent an email to PFW asking if McCourty benefited from Merriweather, and everyone scoffed at the idea. In your discussion during the crossover, you all seemed to be making the point I made. Maybe it technically wasn't Merriweather making McCourty better, but the 2010 defensive scheme benefited McCourty. You know, Tiff, great minds think alike is all I'm going to say. I think there has to be some questions asked. Schematically, this team is not playing the same as it did last year. Now, it's not rocket science here, but there's more man coverage in the secondary, way more than there was last year. So one of two things. If you're telling me that somehow this team is throwing zone in, then last year's safeties did a way better job of help defense than this year's safeties are doing. It's that simple. Because everybody's getting beat. All I'm looking at are the heels of our safeties and our defensive backs. I don't see anybody's face mask. I see their heels. She says, I also agree that we need a defensive playmaker. We need a Troy Polamalu, a Suggs, an Ed Reed, a DeMarcus Ware, or a Ndamukong Suh. Mayo isn't getting it done. Spikes is a non-factor. He may as well not be on the field. Lastly, I think the play calling on both the offense and the defense was poor. Someone complained that O'Brien isn't good at making adjustments during the game, and the offensive play against the Bills is indicative of O'Brien's inability to make in-game adjustments. The law firm was getting killed on Sunday, but he kept him in there. Vereen was running pretty well, but they only kept him in for a couple of series at a time. I didn't understand that. If the defense isn't allowing you consistent yardage with the law firm, you just do what they give you. That should have been Vereen. Chad's missed catch wasn't just bad in that he missed a surefire touchdown. It took us an additional 5 minutes to get back to the end zone. That time loss was the reason the Pats lost. I totally agree with that one. If Tom hadn't thrown those picks resulting in a win for the Pats, it would have masked O'Brien's inability to make adjustments in the game. By the way, I now hate the Bills. Their fans are just too damn happy. Tiff in Wisconsin, bringing it strong today. All right, Sharik in Ottawa, Ontario. John, love the show. Much better than the Three Stooges on before you. I'm sure they'll like that. I'm going to leave this here for them.
Which one's Perillo?
He's got to be, he's curly.
Yeah. Wouldn't say that 10 years ago, but I guess you have to go that way now.
He's curly now. He says, this team has lacked the killer instinct of those championship teams. You knew up 21, you were getting a serious dose of Dylan. Here's the thing. I can't understand. Why the hell are you still in a shotgun up 21? You have four flipping running backs in the roster. Use them. I have a really bad feeling about this week's game. It's been a long time since we've had consecutive losses, but it's committing. By the way, I've seen a better organized defense on my four-year-old son, Pee-wee team.
It's just, God, get a clue, people. See, all right. Those are the kind of statements
where,
that, you know.
Where are they off base?
I mean, to make a ridiculous blanket statement like that, you know, it's just ridiculous. Go back and watch the games again. Four picks your offense gave up. Yeah, can they improve on defense? You better believe it. They gave up four picks, and it took every ounce of strength for the Bills to still eke out that game on a last-second field goal. Four picks by the offense, one that led to 7 points. You can't win in the NFL, for the most part, turning the ball over twice, let alone four. And the Patriots, is how good they are, is they actually nearly pulled it off. Now, they need to make some improvements, no question about it. But, I mean, I'm so sick and tired of this one-sided paintbrush, and it's all about the defense. The offense turned the ball over four times. If turns it ball over once, that game's probably a 30-point win by the Patriots. 30 points.
Yeah.
30.
Yeah.
You think I'm not making that up? That's a 30-point win by the Patriots if they turn the ball over just that one time, in my opinion. They would have gone up 28-7 at the half. God only knows what that score would have been.
And then you probably, and then Buffalo probably would have laid down.
But again, butterfly effect, not in play here in real life.
I know. So, all right, but here's the thing. All right, so we clearly know where the problems are. We've kind of seen it coming over the last 2 weeks. It manifested itself this week. Where do they go from here?
Yeah, you keep doing, well, first of all, you hope that Patrick Chung is back. You hope Rozay Dowling is back. You hope, you know.
And hopefully that corrects some of the problems you have.
You hope a couple of bad calls by the officials don't happen again. That pass interference call to me was ridiculous, on Sergio Brown in that game. There's just a lot of things that happened. The basic reason why they lost that game is they turned the ball over four times.
Yeah.
Any team that does that in the NFL, usually if it's twice, you're gonna lose. Four times, forget it. And they still were in position to do some damage in that game. Now, there's a lot of things you can take. I'm just not going to go crazy one way. Week 3, look at all the other teams. I'll take the coach and the quarterback. Look at all the other teams playing. How the Jets looked. Even the Jets went against Jacksonville. They didn't look good in that game. I watched a lot of that. And they sure as hell didn't look good last week. What team has looked real good? You think Detroit and Buffalo are going to be there? I picked Detroit to make the playoffs. I'm still not sure about the Bills.
I said that earlier. I agree with you on that one. I'm not sure the Bills are going to be there.
I don't know. Remember Josh McDaniels when the Broncos started off 4-0?
Mm-hmm.
6-0 they were.
They were 6-0.
I sat right here in this very studio.
6-0, right.
When I was at EEI, and I looked at the schedule and I went, this team ain't making the playoffs. I had just come off that emotional win against the Patriots, and I said, you know what? Patriots beat themselves in that game. Everybody knows it. And Denver was just not going to make the play. Didn't they finished? They went 6-8 the rest, or they went 2-6 the rest of the year.
Right,
whatever
right.
it was.
Right.
So I mean, I just what team out there do you think looks better than the Patriots overall after 3 weeks? What team? Somebody come up with that answer for me. Detroit,
Buffalo,
Buffalo.
What about Green Bay?
I don't look.
Green Bay. You'd have to say Green Bay's defense is better.
Not by much, right now. Not by much. But I guess you could put Green Bay up there now. That's about it.
At least in the area.
Yeah, of course. Well, they're definitely in the area. They're a great team. But you know, look at all the look at the. Do people watch the rest of these games, or they just have this narrow-minded, tunnel vision on the Patriots and? If they don't win 42-10 every week, then it's a bad game.
Right.
Look at all the other teams in the NFL.
Right.
You got to. I swallowed my headphones here, but I'm sick and tired of the media and some of these fans when they put out. You know, my kids' Pop Warner team can play better than that. Come on, grow up. How many games have you watched people in this area for God's sakes over how many years? And I can tell you this: if I'm the Raiders, look out on Sunday. Because last year, I remember sitting here, John, after they lost to Cleveland, and I'd sit here and fend off, knucklehead after knucklehead, saying how the season was done and they can't win in Pittsburgh, blah, blah, blah. And I kept telling you people, and I'm going to say it again, they are, kick them when they're down, go ahead. They have responded, and they respond big. They went into Pittsburgh last year and kicked the crap out of the Steelers. And if you think this Raider team is gonna have, maybe they put up 20 points in this game, maybe 25, but I'll tell you what, the Patriots will have their biggest offensive game of the year on Sunday. You can mark it down every way, shape, or form. Points, yards, everything. The Raiders will never, ever, ever stop the Patriots. And I don't expect Brady to throw 4 picks. And he still almost had over 400 yards again passing.
You're right.
So I'm just telling you.
By the way, that was the one. I mean, the two big things we've sat and we've nitpicked the whole day here, which is what we do. But the two things that we have to mention here that are extraordinary that we may not ever see again are Wes Welker's performance: 16 catches, 217 yards, which obviously is a franchise record for yards in a game.
Were you surprised? Sorry to interrupt you. To see whose record he broke.
Yeah, Terry Glenn's, right?
Yeah. I was stunned.
Yeah, I had forgotten it was Glenn. Yeah. You would think it would have been Ben Coates or somebody like, no, it was Terry Glenn.
Yep.
And then Tom Brady has thrown for more yards in the first 3 weeks of an NFL season than any quarterback in the history of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we also may not see again.
If they haven't scored 20 points a game, they're never going to win. I mean, it's just, I can't, I don't know who's, it's national media, it's local media, it's some fans, they have this ridiculous pass or fail attitude. And they just can't, analyze a game for what it is sometimes. And it's just way overreaction. especially in week three. Well, I just can't stand it.
Welcome to Patriots.com.
It's not, well, it's not Patriots.com. It's NFL. It's sports.com, okay. You know?
Right.
Because I guarantee you that people are complaining like hell about the Jets this week too in New York.
No question. That's no question about that.
Of course, Rex Ryan still has them winning the next five Super Bowls.
Oh, of course he does. All right. Pete Shepard's coming up here momentarily. Our final word today comes from Joe, who sends this email. He says, I really think that our D needs some help, but you can't blame it all on the D. Tom Brady had a few picks that didn't really help them out. I can't believe that we still have Chad, but since I don't play football, I can't really judge our team.
Bill!
That's right. I guess you can't. But we do, because that's what we do.
That's what you do.
That's what we do. And Pete's going to continue to do that, and we'll be back here, same Pat's time, same Pat's channel tomorrow. Eric Scalavino from PFW will be in studio with us, and we'll turn the page, and we'll get on those Raiders. A little bit more tomorrow, right here in the Playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.